Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Five, 4, 3, 3, 2, 1.
This week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. This week, we've got DK sitting next to me. Welcome.
Hey, you're getting that down.
I almost got it memorized. Pretty soon, I'll have it memorized, but as soon as I put this, I have it memorized, but as soon as I put the paper away, it'll be blank. Then I'll have to post-produce it, so. Okay, Dennis, this week we actually have people in-house, which is kind of cool. I enjoy that much better than on the phone. And this week we've got two people here from Five Star Bank. We have Aileen Berrios, the Senior Vice President, and Tia
Cavis.
Tia Cavis, the Business Credit Manager. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
us. Glad to be here.
Yes.
You okay? Take a breath. You're okay.
I'm okay.
It's all right. Good. All right. Just want to make sure.
It's good. Okay, so... Five Star Bank. So, Dennis, these guys are from a bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's something new we haven't had yet, really.
We haven't had a bank?
We've had one. Maybe.
Yeah, we've had a bank.
Have we?
I think so.
Not one like these guys.
So, I was just telling the ladies before they got here, somebody asked me the other day, who's the number one bank for dealing with small government contractors or government contractors in town? And I said, Five Star Bank. Like, so they've done a great job of kind of... working with government contractors and particularly the small government contractors, that whole ecosystem. And I'm really happy that they're both here today because we've been trying to do this for a while. And they're in person. So Aileen and I were talking, it's been at least a year since we've seen each other. So this is very exciting that she's here.
Yeah, it's good to see you both.
Yeah. So anyways... thank you, ladies, for being here. Thank you for coming. And we are excited, and we are also interested for our listening audience to learn more about the things that you guys can offer them and kind of what your core competencies are. And then when we get a chance to talk a little bit about, you know, how you both even got here to your positions that you're in now. No,
I'm pretty sure.
And Aileen, do we want to talk about your other side gig thing? Is it you still doing the sidekick?
No. Later.
No, that's are you still episode. Doing it?
Yeah. You mean our business that we own, my husband and I?
No, well, that too. Yeah. No, I forgot
means
about
the
that.
Government contracting.
Yeah,
oh, the government the forum. Contracting forum. Yes. It's been on hold for a while because of the whole COVID-19 thing.
Yeah, we feel you.
And we do want to talk about that as well.
Okay. Yes. So let's start.
I got a question. Is it still COVID-19 or is it COVID-20 for the new strains?
Oh, God. Yeah.
COVID-19.
These are the things that you
have
to
could be both.
COVID-19.3.
It's
I don't
the
know.
Vid.
Okay. So, right. Aileen, let's start with Aileen. Talk to us about Five Star Bank. You're like the owner or something, or senior vice president. Same thing, right?
Yeah, no. Well, Five Star Bank is a community-owned bank. And what I love about Five Star and the reason why I came over to Five Star Bank is that it's locally owned. It's locally operated. It is a team of people that really care about business people. So we're focused on small to medium-sized businesses. That's what we're about. And I specialize, along with Tia, in government contracting companies. And we really try to help companies from a startup phase to a growth phase to a, you know, steady, ready-to-sell stage. So we have products and services that help these companies grow, help them start, help them get going, and really fix the financing piece for it. So. That is what we're about.
Okay, so real quick before anybody else hops in here. So you said you're locally owned small bank.
Yes.
Do you have, how many branches do you have?
We've got three locations in Colorado Springs. We're actually on Peterson Air Force Base. We have a location downtown on in the Sun Plaza, Colorado, and Colorado and Cascade. I'm like, where am I? And we have a location in, on InterQuest. And then we have a tech center location in Denver. And we just hired someone in Pueblo, and we are opening a de novo branch in Trinidad. So we're up and down the I-25 corridor, and we plan to expand. So
I didn't realize Five Star, it's actually a local bank. I didn't realize that.
It is a local bank owned and operated by investors in the state of Colorado, both Denver and Colorado Springs.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Yeah. And you said small to medium-sized businesses. What does that mean to our audience? How big is too big for you?
You know, that's a great question. I would say revenues starting from zero all the way up to 100 million. I think we can definitely support that. So that's, you know, small to medium.
I could support 100 million too myself. But.
So
just one. I just want.
Now, okay. So you say that, but if somebody's out there that has $1 billion to place, I'm sure you're not going to have turned on the conversation.
You know, $1 billion is a lot of, that's bigger than the bank. No, we're a small community bank. Our size is 400 million. So, you know, we can handle most customers, most sophisticated customers. I think what's nice about us is we have products and services that you will find at bigger banks. And so we have remote deposit, and we have online banking, and we have online wires, and you know, all the things that people need as a business to run a business, have that.
I think that's important. You can't run a bank any longer without offering those amenities, right?
Yes, that is correct.
I think I still think that the first bank to offer no ATM fees is going to get my business. Traveling all the time.
Yeah.
I would have to literally drive 30 miles out of my way just to find a bank that didn't charge me. You know, it'd be one thing if it was like $4. That's the local fee.
Yeah.
But then you had the percentage fee that'd be like $25 every time I want to pull out $400. And I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
And, you know, when I'm traveling for business, they're not going to give me that money back.
Yeah.
That's come out of my pocket. So I'm like, well, that doesn't make much sense for me. I mean, that's a huge amount.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No. Yeah. We do offer free ATM withdrawals if you use your debit card. So.
Okay.
We do have that service. But, you know, for businesses, it's more about ACH. It's more about wire capacity.
Yeah.
It's online banking. It's, you know, there's financing, of course, you know, being able to finance your contracts or big contracts and to help finance a company that's just starting.
Yep.
That's,
you know, we're good
part.
At that. That is very important. A lot of banks don't do that.
And it takes extra time, right? Because some of these people, they're starting out, like you said, zero. I want to start my own business. How do I even get that started? Obviously, we've talked in the past. On this show, we push PTAC huge.
Yep.
The Small Business Development Center we push.
Yep.
So those are the places people start. But
yep.
As part of the ecosystem, that's where you guys fall in. So, Tia, why don't you kind of, I know you have some very specific things you kind of want to get into. So I'll let you kind of walk through what your role is first.
Okay.
At the bank, and then we'll go from there.
Well, thank you. I think my role, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I think my role in the bank is really to offer access to those companies that are just starting out or that are growing very fast or may be in a turnaround situation. It's hard for companies that are just starting, but it's also hard for companies that may have had a setback of sorts and are wanting or are seeing some new opportunities. Don't get access to funding for those opportunities because of the said setback. So the business credit division really is all about giving working capital solutions to companies like in those categories. We have a great comfort level with government contracting companies. Aileen and I have been helping companies in the government contracting sector for many years together, and I think we partner really well. Specifically able to offer a growth component with either financing receivables or contracts, and then also even with more mature companies offering financing solutions for their payables on the flip side. So these are products that are really not very common in the community banking space.
And I do want to say something about business credit, which is what Tia manages, is it's not common for a bank our size to have this division. And so we really are able to be flexible for companies, and we really do try to learn about them and what contracts they're going after, what they're winning, or who their client is. And so we really take a deep dive into getting to know the customer. And for a company that's starting up in government contracting, a lot of times it's easier to finance. And people don't know that. These companies don't know that. And this kind of division is not something you would find in every bank. Not all banks have a business credit division, but especially a small bank. So I think it's very special that we have this division.
Well, so there's a lot of things that I'm not a banker, but just being around bankers for my entire career, how does it work if I have a contract, or if I'm a small business, want to start with you guys, but want to go after government contracts, and how do I get a line of credit? You guys do that line of credit in case somebody wins a contract, or how does that work?
Well, in light of, it depends if you're an established company or if you're a startup. If you're established, it's a lot easier to get a line of credit on a conventional line of credit, which is what I would take care of.
Okay.
And so if you're a startup, then that would be Tia's division, and then she can finance those ARs. So while they're waiting for payment, you know, she can be helping them with getting some money back in their pockets to meet payroll. You know, a lot of times government contracting companies grow too fast. And so if there's high growth, that's another place that she can come in. But we definitely do both. You know, I also specialize in SBA. So if they're needing permanent working capital to get started, that's something we can look at. And then also, you know, if they do have history, or even I just finance, you know, someone that started a year and a half ago and we got them into an SBA loan for permanent working capital. You know, those are great examples of what owners of smaller companies can look for.
Well, I think it's nice to have that capability, like you said, for payroll too. Mm-hmm. And small businesses, I can't tell you how many small businesses I've talked to where the CEO, owner, founder, janitor, whatever, all the above, right?
Yeah.
Has came to me and says, I'm tired of having to flip payroll on my own personal credit card.
Yep.
I see
yep.
it happen all the time. I'm like, ooh, that's tough.
That is very tough. And so, you know, there's two options for that to meet your payroll. Sometimes they need permanent working capital because they're having to onboard people. And it's an expense to onboard people before they're starting to make money themselves. And so you've got that gap. And so that's a great, you know, SBA type loan. If you starting, oh, I got this contract and it's so many thousands and I can't finance all these people. Well, then that's when a business credit solution comes into play.
Okay. So it's split off kind of like that. So if I'm going after a contract, win the contract, I'm assuming you guys can turn stuff fairly quickly if need be.
Oh yeah. You know, Tia especially can turn things quickly.
I can.
She can be quicker than an SBA loan right now with PPP. SBA is taking a lot longer. So sometimes we put that solution into place first and then, you know, work on something
to
different.
Get them something to get going. And that's the last thing you want as a small business is to win a government contract and then not able to make your first CDRL delivery within 30 days of contract.
Yeah, exactly. So especially if they win a contract, then she can put something in place right away. It doesn't take her that long. We ask for certain things. We ask for financials, and we get to know the business and understand how they operate. And she can have that in place in no time. I mean, it's very quick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just interject here and say that a lot of startup companies, they don't feel like they could justify a banking solution. So they don't come to us. They don't know that these solutions are available. And oftentimes they're looking for capital, for friends and family investment or equity capital. And this is a way for them to be able to access these growth opportunities without diluting their equity. I think that's pretty special. It's pretty impactful when you're setting up a brand new company.
I mean, ideally, it'd be great if every single person had an angel investor, right? To say, here.
Yeah.
Let me do this for you.
Yeah. Yes and no, but that also dilutes your equity. So you're left with less of your company that way.
True. As a startup, though, you might not care if you just want to get the thing kicked off the ground, you know.
There, it's true, and sometimes there's a solution for both. You know,
sometimes you might need both as well.
Exactly. Sometimes you might need both. You know, it depends on the company, what they have to offer. Is it, you know, are they a manufacturer and they need more capital if it's a manufacturer versus, you know, someone that's butts in seats and it's just, you know, people where you're invoicing for hours. So, you know, it just depends on the company and what they're doing, what kind of contract they want, that kind of thing. And but we love the contracting, government contracting world. We really do. And we really like to help companies in this space, especially the smalls. And we do also refer them to Colorado PTAC to get them going on that side. We refer them to the smalls with you guys.
We get quite a few. Literally almost every day now I'm getting either a phone call or email saying somebody told them they need to call us.
Yeah.
So kind of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I just had one last night. It was kind of weird. It was at night, like 7 o'clock, and the dude calls me and says, "Hey, I'm so-and-so from whatever he was." And he's like, "I just wanted to say thank you." And I'm like, "Okay. Thank you for what I do."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, I heard you guys were mentioned us on a podcast and you guys pushed us out, and I've had like 3 or 4 people now come to us saying that the smalls told us to go to you." So it's working, right?
Yeah.
That's what I get out of it.
That is amazing.
Dennis and I didn't start this thing to be part of saying we want to help saying that we can help everybody immediately.
Right.
It's taken a while to grow it, but after 3 years now, it's nice to hear those things that, oh, wow, we actually made a difference. I think that's probably what you guys feel every day when you guys are able to help a small business get
Absolutely.
To that next level.
It's so rewarding, especially when you start companies out from zero. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. It's very rewarding.
It is amazing. And those companies stay with us because they appreciate how we were there for them and their before they had revenue. And I think it's pretty special.
So
but
before we get into any specific products, I want to get into that after our break. But before we do that, can you guys walk me through, if I'm a small business, just kind of what is it going to take for me to get an account with you guys and come under your wing, if you will?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. You know, if you're just starting and you've got, you know, we're going to need your operating agreement. We're going to need your EIN number. So you get that from the SS4 form. You get that in the mail. And, you know, your address, your driver's license, and that's pretty much it. I mean, we just need a few things to get your account opened. And, you know, when we meet with you in light of your business plan, it's good to have, you know, what's your story? We really like to hear people's story. How did you start this? Why did you start this? What's your vision? How are you going to grow? And we also try to help people connect with other people, just like the smalls does. You know, we will refer people to you, we'll refer people to PTAC, we'll refer people to accountants, to, you know, other people that they need that understands government contracting. We like to connect, you know, all the dots on what those people need.
Well, and it's so much easier to have that in front of you as opposed to trying to figure it out. That's the number one thing I hear from people all the time, whether it be through PTAC or through the smalls or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, a lot of people take lumps on the heads when they don't need to. Right?
Yeah.
So you say, okay, so those few things that people probably need to bring. So step one, probably call you guys up and say, "Hey, I'm Nate. I need a business," or "I've got a business.
Yeah.
I need money." So step one, you guys probably call us in for a sit down session or probably still with COVID, or you guys?
No, we are actually open. You know, we've been very proud to be able to keep the branches open for the most part. We kind of split our staff, but, you know, a lot of people are coming back to work in the branch. But we'll either do a Zoom meeting. I think, some kind of Zoom meeting for first start is okay. Great. And that's because people are busy. Everyone's busy.
Yeah, it's easier.
It's easier. Everyone's
quicker.
Used to it, you know. So we start with that, and we just had one today, this morning, our second one with a prospect, mm-hmm. and it was so nice to say hi, and everyone can see their faces, and and then we just start talking about their business. What, you know, what do you do, and what's your plans, and, you know, what do you need, and just kind of start talking about the business so we can understand it.
Excellent. Okay, so let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into Tia's great idea and thing that she's doing. So I don't want to give that away. So give us 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, this is James Jordan, founder and CEO of Archer Jordan. We're the leader in providing professionally managed fringe benefit plans to government contractors. Let me ask you a question. Is contract compliance stressing you out? Archer Jordan meets the challenge of ensuring regulatory compliance and maximum cost savings through our flagship program, Aero Contractors Trust. Visit archerjordan.com to schedule a free consultation today.
Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast Podcast. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we've got Five Star Bank in-house. We got Aileen and Tia. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, that commercial was a lot shorter than we expected, wasn't it?
Yes, that was a quick break.
Okay, so before break, we were talking about all the cool stuff that you guys offer to current businesses, small businesses. To me, a big business, anything between zero and 100 million revenue is what you guys say you guys kind of focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tia, it's your turn to talk a little bit. Talk. Tell me what you want to talk about.
Okay. So thank you. So yes, I head the business credit division, and that's really focused on helping government contracting companies finance their accounts receivable, their contracts. And that's something we do for, like we said, startup or high growth companies. We recently are very excited to present a product that we recently put in place. It's called Supply Chain Financing, and it's a technology-based solution that really offers more mature government contracting companies a solution for their payables. So it really, it's offering them a customized vendor portal that they can use to monitor all of their accounts payable, so on the flip side of their balance sheet. And we also facilitate the ability to offer quicker payment terms to their vendors, which in the government contracting world is huge, especially when it comes to subs working for a larger company. They have the ability on this portal to see which of their invoices are approved, which is very important, but also to obtain payment a lot earlier than they normally would, which is also great. And we do this while allowing these companies to extend their payable terms. So we would just be stepping in and financing that quick pay for them.
Okay. So we're going to get back into this because we talked about this like a couple months ago. And in my brain, it took a little while to flip the switch and realize which angle you guys are coming at this from. So I want to make sure I get it right. Okay. So if I own my own business, I'm going to have vendors, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So suppliers.
Suppliers, vendors, yeah. All the same, right? Somebody that I'm going to give money to, and then they're going to give me something, whether it be a service, toilet paper, whatever it may be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, correct.
Okay. And I'm going to probably have terms and conditions to them that I passed on to them, right?
Correct.
Where I'm going to say, I'm going to pay you
30 days.
30 days, yeah. Right? After yeah. Product receipt, you get your money.
Right.
So this is really to help pay them sooner. Is that correct?
If they choose to. So say that vendor is a small business and they need the money in 10 days and they don't want to wait 30 days. They have the option of getting paid in 10 days. So first of all, the vendor portal gives the ability for you as the owner of the company to approve that payable. So they upload their invoice to you and they say, here's my invoice for XYZ. And then you go, oh, yep, I got that. I approved this invoice. And then it's payable in 30 days. Well, that vendor might say, ooh, I could really use that money in 10 days. Well, that's where her product comes into play. So they can choose early pay.
And then so, we pull it upon maturity. We pull it from our client's account in 30 days or 40 days, whatever day.
So you guys are really acting like an invoicing middleman.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
So do you guys have the offer? What's the benefit of me as the business owner to sign up for this service?
And you have your own portal. So how many small businesses have their own vendor portal? Not very many. So maybe Walmart has their vendor portal, but ABC business doesn't have that.
Exactly.
We're giving you that. We're giving you a vendor portal.
So vendor portal for delivery of invoicing, right?
Yep.
And it offers a lot of visibility. So the vendors have access to it. They can see their invoices that have been approved, or if they're pending, if there's something wrong with them, they can see that too. The buyer can see all of their payables in one place. And then the bank takes care of all of that for them. So they have the streamlining, the cost savings from not having to pay multiple vendors. We do that for them. And then they have the fraud protection as well. They don't have to worry about, did I send the ACH to the right place? Did I send this wire correctly? Did I send this check to the right address? It's a huge mitigation of their fraud risk as well.
That is true. It's saving you money that you don't have to pay someone to do your accounts payable. But even more importantly, it's the fraud mitigation, and it's a portal that the vendor, hopefully this vendor you're doing business with every month, so they can see all their invoices, and you can see all their invoices, and you can, you know, approve them or say, oh, this one's got a problem. And so it's very nice that way in the paper handling, that both you and the vendor can see that portal and what's in there, what's been uploaded, what's, you know, been approved, what's still pending. You know, it's
well, I like the fact that it's something that I've never heard of another bank doing. I'm assuming, did you guys invent this yourself, or?
No, this is actually a pretty prevalent product. It seems to be where the market is moving. This is a product that's primarily available to very large corporations. And our goal and our vision was to be able to bring it to smaller, medium companies.
Okay. Especially government contracting companies.
Exactly.
And I need to give her a big kudos, because Tia worked very hard in the supply chain finance. I mean, she worked months getting this put together and getting a proposal and getting this implemented. So, you know, a lot of kudos to her. She's done international factoring, so she comes with a lot of experience. And I think it's because of her that we've been able to implement this product at Five Star Bank.
Well, that has been a vision of mine. Thanks, Aileen. I just wanted to name one more benefit that I think is really important. It has to do with the how crucial vendors are and the relationship with key vendors and honoring that relationship. So when you as a larger company or as a buyer have these relationships with various vendors, you want to be able to offer them solutions such as QuickPay if they need it. And this goes to this is of strategic importance as well.
So I'm curious. I'm always got my business hat on. So if I'm a business, I sign up for this through you guys. I have my accounts for you guys. I have all my vendors go through this portal. If they do need something like that, so usually you have a benefit, right? I mean, your terms and conditions are there for a reason, right? Because from my perspective, I've got terms and conditions from whoever's paying me, whether it be the government, probably, right, as a prime.
Yep.
So I don't want to mess up my accounts payable either, as far as paying somebody early. So is there a benefit to me if they want to pay early, like say they give me a 5% discount next time on the product, or is that something part of it? Or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So this system really facilitates that. Obviously, if there's going to be QuickPay, there's going to be some sort of negotiated discount, unless there are some vendors that you just don't negotiate with, and that we're not talking about those. They can be on the platform, but they're not really the purpose of
sure, this. Sure.
So I guess the most common scenario would be a sub that you're paying, and it would be kind of, you're talking about a pay when paid scenario. Okay. So depending on whenever you approve it as payable, if they've indeed rendered the service or provided the goods, you can approve it, and then you can in turn wait for the government to pay you. We would be facilitating that discount, and there would be some sort of a revenue share in that case. So we would be providing the funding for that early payment. You would not have to do without your cash at all. You would be able to hold on to your cash as a buyer, and your vendor would be super happy. And then we would kind of share that discount, I guess, depending on the structure of the relationship.
Sure, so, I'm sure each one's unique.
Each one's unique.
But yeah. I think what's great is that you can hold on to your cash and get a discount.
Well, yeah, I like that. And even more important that I think we've seen in the past, say, 12 months now, is the importance of our supply chains.
Yes.
This, out of everything, I guess, what's this has taught me, and hopefully it's taught the rest of America, is supply chain is very important. And it doesn't really matter where they are.
Yeah.
You know, I prefer everything made in America. That's just who I am.
Sure.
Born and raised on a farm, so I'm all about made in America. Now, with that being said, though, I think this whole just-in-time manufacturing is probably going to swing the other way a little bit, because Otherwise, if I have two companies, two vendors to choose from or suppliers, and one, let's say they're both made in America, whatever, and they're both, one's 10% more, but they can guarantee me that they're going to keep stuff on stock, you know, on the shelf. I'm probably going to go with that person. So yeah. I'd want to get that person in as part of this, and I might even give them a more of a discount from my perspective, or give them more business, if you will.
Right.
Because that's the biggest thing I've ran into. Last year, I bought a pool, a 33-foot pool for the backyard because everything hit, and I was like, well, we're not doing any vacations, so let's buy this massive saltwater pool system.
Yeah.
I ordered it in March. It arrived in October.
Yeah.
When they promised me it would be delivered in 3 to 4 weeks when I ordered it.
Yeah.
So I would literally call them weekly. I'm like, what is going on? And all the excuse they ever gave me was, well, COVID. I'm like, on your website, you said you had this in stock. How can you use that as an excuse? What warehouse is this sitting in? Get it to me.
Yeah.
Come to find out, they were waiting on parts, so it wasn't in stock.
Yeah.
They just say that. So.
Yeah, that's just that. Well, it's funny. I had the same experience. We had to get a new fridge, and so I bought a fridge, and then we had to do some, you know, construction in the house before we put the fridge in. And our guy said, I could have sold your refrigerator 10 times over and gotten a profit for you because they are 6 months behind on just an appliance.
Yeah, no, so. I mean, I made out good. I actually needed to buy a new large freezer because I was out of space for my freezer. So I bought a 27 cubic or 28 cubic foot freezer, which is like 7 feet long, 4 feet wide. Huge, huge freezer. Mm-hmm. And I sold an old one that was 20 years old for like $400.
Wow. Yeah.
I think I paid $200 for it when I bought it new 20 years ago.
Yeah, because there's a lack of supply.
Supply and demand.
I know. You know, I really do hope this helps the manufacturing world in the United States, that gets geared up again and we can start manufacturing more in this country. So wouldn't that be nice?
Well, that's what Dennis and I are trying to do right now. That's what we're working very closely with manufacturers down in Pueblo right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big believer that between Denver, Boulder, Colorado Springs, and Pueblo, we can handle pretty much everything.
Yeah.
You know, I've got lots of stories of me working with vendors down in Pueblo. I didn't know they even existed until I started kind of poking around. And I'm like, why don't you guys promote yourselves? I know when I was developing systems around the world, we were buying stuff, for example, Hoffman boxes, electrical boxes for walls. I would have to buy those Hoffman boxes and wait 6 to 8 weeks for a lead time. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize I had a manufacturer like literally 30 miles from Colorado Springs that I could order it and they could have it, even if it wasn't in stock, they could have it built within a day or two.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that we have all this here.
Right.
But there was nobody really kind of collecting all this information and trying to get it out to the masses. And that's what we're trying to do.
Right. No, this is great. I mean, I would love to see manufacturing take a different swing and go up, especially in Colorado and Colorado Springs. And we do have a large manufacturer in Colorado that you wouldn't even think existed. And I think you're right. They're kind of hidden. And how do we get them out there? And how do we get them connected to the right people that are going to buy from them? So,
well, and it's unfortunate. You know, I think every 4 to 8 years, it's going to swing based on where the manufacturing is going to take place, based on taxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's lots of things that take place. It's not just the fact that, well, why don't you have this in stock? It's always like, well, because I can't afford to do it here or right now. Or well, what I'm seeing now, I don't know if you guys have seen this, trying to buy any product right now, if those things are in hot demand, supply and demand, I'm seeing that companies are asking a premium.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, how much do we pay for our mask now?
Exactly. And people are going to pay it. But right. I don't ever see it going back down again.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like what happened in the oil and gas industry back after the Katrina event, right? When after that, that's when everything changed on the flights, right? Gas was at a premium because all these factories were shut down. So now the airlines have to charge you more for the gas. They have to charge you more for whatever, weight. Yeah. But that never did come down after the gas dropped way below what it was before Katrina. So
right. Yeah. And, you know, airlines get contracts for gas. I mean, they're not just buying on the day. They've got it years out.
They buy it years out. It's called a commodity for a reason, right?
Yes.
So, okay. So, Tia, what else? what should people do when, if they want to be part of this? Is it automatic that as soon as they have an account, they're part of this, or is it an option and part of this, or do they have to be a certain size? What is it?
So yes, it's definitely a case by case basis. I think our approach overall with Aileen is that we talk to companies, like Aileen said, we get together with them, we listen to their story, we look at them, and then we put our heads together and we try to figure out the best possible combination of solutions for them. And we oftentimes are offering them a little bit conventional, a little bit alternative. And depending on their needs, depending on where they are in their growth cycle, we try to come up with the best solution. It usually works out really well.
Yeah, it does. And I agree. It's a conversation. It's a conversation with the business. And not everyone's always ready. People are, you know, some companies are converting their accounting system. And so we have continual conversations with our customers, and especially our government contracting customers. Hey, what's up? What contracts have you won? What's going on? And that way we can, you know, offer these solutions that we have.
You have a need for supply chain finance.
You very much have a radio voice.
There you go.
I will say.
That's what my mother tells me. I've got a face for radio. Thank you, Dee. I appreciate that.
I will say the supply chain finance is probably a really good complement to a conventional banking relationship where somebody's just not really needing to use their line all the time. They have facilities. It's really for probably the larger, the little bit stronger. But we're not looking for large corporations. We're still looking for
sure.
Small
well,
businesses.
I think as a startup, size. Yeah, as a startup, you're going to be buried with lots of other things. How do
right.
I hire my first employee?
Exactly.
How do I?
Yeah,
and we can
yeah.
help with those things.
Supply
too.
Chain financing is probably a little lower on their
exactly.
totem pole of what they're
yeah.
looking for.
It's more for mature businesses, more medium-sized companies, the supply chain finance.
Okay, so now one thing we haven't talked about, there's obviously going to be a cost with it, right? Is that dependent upon the company and the size and all that kind of stuff? Is that how that works? Or
yes, it's very highly customizable. So we really tailor every facility to the customer's profile.
Okay, so not a one size fit all. You pay us $100 a month and we're going to give you this much or whatever.
No, it has to be customized because every business is different.
Okay.
But the important thing is that they do get to stretch out their payment terms, but also benefit from the discount. So I think the combination of those two things is just amazing.
And I'm sure as you guys sit down with these companies, they can probably sit down and you guys can do the math with them, right? To say, here's how we can save you money. And
yes.
Here's your bottom dollar. Here's what it's going to mean to you. You can actually pay your employees or whatever.
Yeah. Well, we haven't had one company blink at the price. So there's definitely more benefit, and it's also saving the company money because they're not having to do it themselves. And so it's cheaper to do it with us. They see it.
Well, and I'm assuming you guys are monitoring what's out there in industry that is comparable to this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you can do a comparison. Do you guys have a video online to explain this to people?
No.
Well, we'll get Tia working on that right away.
Have we got a company
right
for you?
Well, I'm looking at ways. I want to make sure I get this pushed out to the greater good and the greater community.
We've been talking about maybe having some webinars and or some instructional postings talking about things like this, niche things that maybe the community needs to know about.
Yeah, that'd be great. We would definitely sign up for that. So I think we could definitely put something together because we, right now, Tia does do demonstrations. And so
see,
we could do a demonstration.
You just need to record one of those demonstrations.
Well, I think it's also timely because of the kind of the general push for supply chain risk management. I think now that's a very important conversation that's taking place with, you know, legal folks, and we would be really happy to be part of that discussion for sure. And I'm good at the demos and the presentations. I'm not really good at the video, I don't think.
Well, you don't have to be. You literally have to. You're demoing this on a computer, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
We'll show the demo. We won't show it to you.
Call us.
Well, we can do video too.
You'll give us a demo. How does that sound? And then we'll record it for you guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And then we can set this thing up here so you guys can have the mic.
Yep.
In front of you, so it's good,
and
good
do
audio
the,
quality.
Do the demo.
That's
yeah,
right.
We can do that.
I'm going to write that down. Do the demo.
Do the demo.
Do the demo.
That sounds like a dance or something.
That's why I wrote it down.
Oh, that's good.
Dennis, what kind of questions do you have for
I don't
these
have any,
because
I have no idea what's going on. I feel like I'm in ping pong, though. I've forgotten. We haven't had people here, and usually I sit down there, and Nate's there, and people call in.
Yeah.
But I'm going back and forth and back and forth as you guys are talking. I'm going to have taco neck.
So. Yeah, Yeah.
That's okay. Well, it's part of our exercise plan.
Yeah.
We're really happy to answer any questions. So, like, I think we're...
Yeah, you know, I'd like to give our main number out, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So you can reach myself, and then I'll let Tia go. So Five Star Bank, Aileen Berrios, my direct line, 719-637-4017. 719-637-4017. Tia?
Okay, and my line is, I don't remember this by heart.
You guys
I'm
are
so
funny.
Sorry.
You're both looking at him. Did I say the right number?
I know, right?
Yeah,
720-571-6054.
And
okay, hold on.
Say it again.
Do that again.
Say it again.
720-571-6054.
720 this time.
Yes.
571-6054.
Yep.
No, I know. I heard 719. The great white, I wrote down 719.
The great white north.
The great part is this is all going in the show notes. So people can literally click on your numbers and get right in touch.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, there you go.
Did we talk about her other side?
Not yet. Hold on.
Okay.
What is your website?
www.5star.bank. The number 5 star period bank.
Yeah, I'm so old. I remember when all we had was .com.
I know. Now it's .bank.
We have .bank. We have .edu, .org, .whatever, .net. Yep.
I have people send me emails and can't believe it's .bank. I'm like, no, it's really .bank. So
who's got the Infinity's got the funky one too? They got some .dot something. They made
like
their
I
own
said,
thing
you can
up.
Pretty much get anything.
Yeah.
Nowadays, yeah.
As long
great.
As you're willing to pay.
Yeah. So, okay. Yep, that's how you get a hold of us. And then you want to ask about the government contracting form.
No, I didn't want to ask about that, apparently.
No, you do now. Now that I'm finishing my thought, and I see you walk out of here for like 35 minutes, and you're like, hey, I'm going to change everything now.
I'm back.
Great. Ladies, we should have hurried up and finished this thing up.
So let's start over again. So, Aileen, tell us about yourself.
So what I missed, guys.
That's funny.
See, in the audience, didn't even know where he left other than it was quiet for a change.
Yeah. Somebody else is able to talk.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay, Aileen, tell us sorry. What else you do.
Tell us
okay.
about.
So we have a partnership with other businesses on the Government Contracting Forum, and it hasn't done anything in a year since COVID. So we'd love to, you know, team up with the smalls and put something together. And usually what we try to do is put on an event. So on the forum, we're putting on an event where we have a large prime come, and like a Lockheed Martin or Raytheon or someone like that, and then we invite all the smaller, you know, subcontracting companies to come and listen. So they get to be in front of these larger primes. They get to see their contact. They get to connect. And that's what people are looking for, is connections. And that's what the forum is about.
Right. And you had a focus, though. It was a little more towards, I want to say, finance and accounting and or legal. Wasn't it more of a little more focus on the type of
work? Right. The sponsors that we have for the government contracting company is Dock & Cass Ryan, which is a CPA firm. We have Five Star Bank, which is banking. We have GovIRG, which is, you know, more of accounting services. And then we had the law firm, which I cannot remember, Rothen. Oh,
they're going to hate you now.
They're going to hate me. Yes.
No, it's okay.
I like how you said that you had.
We have. Bill Nelson, I am so sorry. But I refer him all the time, so he will... You will not hate me.
We have these moments too, Aileen. Don't worry about it.
It's more than we like to admit.
So, I would like to make this promise to you right now. So we've been working on the Smalls 2.0. We just had our board meeting that Nate missed yesterday, but we're building out our schedule for the next year. You guys are very much a part of that discussion, and we definitely want to do some more things with you guys over the next forever, but starting, you know, we're talking about doing some live things maybe in the fall here.
Yeah, we would love to be part of that.
Okay.
Because, I know how to put those events together. I've got the contacts, that kind of thing. They've been very successful. You know, Northrop Grumman was one as well.
Yep.
And they were very kind to bring all their people And so those were great connections for these smaller government contracting companies. So, yeah, we would love to team up with you, with the smalls, and figure out what this next year is going to look like.
Chaos. Guaranteed.
The year
we're
of
on
the
a great
smalls
start.
2.0.
We're on a great start already. Our lives. See, these activities, and I'll just mirror our lives.
Oh, yeah.
I get up in the morning, and I'm like, I'm still here.
Yeah.
And then try to figure out where we're going to go from there. So
yeah,
and we have to figure out which meetings we're going to attend, which ones we can't.
That's right. Because
of our lives.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, that is
Nate.
So true.
That's why I wasn't there last night.
Yeah.
I had a kid's game, and I have another one tonight I got to go to.
Well, that's important.
Family is very important.
Yes, family is always important.
Huh.
Especially when you got three small kids at home that are like, Dad.
Yeah.
No. Don't ask me to do that again, because.
And you can't make it. You can't make up for it if you.
That's true.
No, you can't.
That's true. You can't.
Go to your kids' functions, by golly.
Try to.
He does try to, but he lives down south.
Yeah.
So he's got a ways to go usually.
Down south, called P Dub. Bubba West.
P Dub, is that what you guys call it?
P Dub. Oh.
So
P Town proper.
Once we get the meetings going for the smalls too, we'd like you guys to be speakers as well. I know he has been to several meetings. I think he've even did you speak at one ever? Not really, huh?
I don't think so.
So we want
to
do
not
that
to
too.
Everyone at least.
Again, this whole kind of webinar idea, you know, now that we're doing some more of those things. But I also would like to do you know, once we get going again, get the networking events going, to have some talks about this stuff, because...
Oh, no, I spoke on one of yours, Dennis. I spoke on one of your meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I remember that.
We need to do that.
I burned popcorn.
We need
actually,
to
hey,
do that more.
You know, actually, what I found, so I...
Need to
Dennis,
get you down to
Dennis does some weird things. I do the Pueblo ones, and I found what works best, literally beer and pretzels, and we make, like, pretzel necklesses.
Oh, yeah.
And people love them because that's how you stand around
popcorn.
Talking and networking.
Yeah. And then you
beer
eat the
helps
other,
everything.
You eat the
it
other
does.
People's pretzel necklace, so you're just walking around eating the other people's necklaces.
That's how Dennis got punched last time.
We should try that, though, next one.
You go ahead.
That might be
just let me know so I can get the video
I'm
camera
not
ready.
I'm not wearing a necklace. That's all I can say. Keeping it off. Okay.
So, Aileen, back to your real quick to the forum. What's the web? You have a website. So, what's the website to that?
Oh, goodness.
You don't remember?
The Colorado Government Contracting Forum.
.com.
Yes. Yes.
Colorado Government Contracting Forum.com.
I'm sorry that it's long, but it's long. Colorado Government Contracting
Forum. That's how we ended up
Forum.
With the smalls. You know, the smalls is really I just did the taxes the other day. It's the Colorado Small Government Contracting Collaborative.
Oh, yeah.
Way too long.
I know.
You should have just said the smalls.
Yeah, but you know the smalls? If you Google the smalls,
I'm sure it was taken.
Yes, there's lots of
probably.
I've seen that.
It's a rock band and some other. Seriously.
But we know what it is.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you don't go to thesmalls.com. You go to thesmalls.org.
That's right. Smalls.
You can find us everywhere.
.org.
Yeah, smalls.org.
So, how do they get a hold of you one more time at the bank?
So, to contact me, they can call me at 719-637-4017.
Do you want to do it? You don't have to do it. Or 5starbank.com, right?
Or 5starbank.com. Yes.
Okay.
No.
It's 5star.bank.
It's www.5star.bank.
I did that. Sorry.
He did that to me. He did that.
5star
bank. 5star.bank.
5star
bank. The number 5. The number 5star.bank.
Okay.
It's the website with all the mountains on it. My phone number is 720-571-6054.
So thank you.
Next time we meet up, I'm going to ask you what that number is with all the paper in front of you.
I won't remember. I will not remember.
I have to look at her cell phone.
That's I was going to say.
Call herself.
Yeah. I don't have anything else.
I don't. But, well, you. It's your turn to give the shameless plug.
Oh, we're always looking for sponsors. So if you want to be a sponsor to the Smalls and or our podcast, let us know at the Smalls. Wait, Smalls Colorado. Well, I don't even what the heck's our email
Holy
address.
Holy cow, dude! Just go to justnate@thesmalls.org.
Yeah,
send it
you.
That way.
Yeah.
But
all right.
You can get in contact with us, thesmalls.org, for everybody on the podcast listener land. That's how we bring the shows to you guys. And we'll keep bringing you guys content. Ladies, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. This was fun.
This is great.
Yeah. It's something new and interesting.
Yeah.
See, hey, and I forgot too. So don't feel bad.
You forget every time.
I'm old. I'm the oldest one here. I'm old.
Yeah. I don't think I'm the youngest one. I think it's Tia.
No, I'm not the youngest
one. I'm the oldest one.
I bet you.
Okay, we'll talk later.
Okay. It's not me, that's for sure. I'm not the youngest.
I'm pretty sure I'm the oldest.
I can say I've never had a gray hair yet.
I haven't either.
No way.
I haven't had a gray hair.
You've had white.
I got a lot of them.
Yeah, you have white.
Okay.
I got a lot of them.
With that, thank you guys again.
Thank you.
And this is Just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the SmallsCast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.